your Bibles to the 23rd Psalm. If you would stand for the reading of the Word of God. Let's call this message, "The Sheep Ponders the Shepherd." The sheep, that would be King David, ponders the shepherd, that would be Yahweh, that would be the Lord, Adonai, that would be God, the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. Make these words your own. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, means lack. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod, Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the midst of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heavenly Father, speak Your word into my heart, from my heart, through my mouth, to our lives, that we would truly be able to behold You in the ups and downs and all arounds of life, and knowing that when it comes right down to it, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and we have a good shepherd. Lord Jesus, You said, "My sheep hear My voice, My sheep know My voice." Help us know Your voice because we are intimate with You. Let us be intimate with You in these moments together in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of God. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Provision, protection, a path. There's some incredible things you see here. What I would like you to do is imagine yourself as a sheep. This is David, the king, as a sheep, pondering the shepherd. But it wasn't just he was sitting down in a nice quiet meadow somewhere and writing this. Most scholars believe that he wrote this while he was on the run from his son Absalom. Imagine that. His own son. We think, oh, our children, we have a hard time with our children, our children's children, whatever. This was his own son running to kill him and take his throne. And it's an incredible story. But even when Absalom died, he was crying, "Absalom, my son, Absalom." But at this moment, it appears that he's on the run. And so he has peace on the run. This is him pondering who the shepherd is. It wasn't going so good at the moment. If you read David's life, now sometimes he messed things up, sometimes other people did things and all that. But the point is, he's just like you and me in the sense of he has ups and downs and all arounds. And in the midst of that, he finds peace because his mind is stayed on his Savior. Remember, we talked a couple of weeks ago about He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee because he trusts in Thee. And we talked about He will keep him in shalom, shalom, right? Peace, peace is what that means. And this is where David was. His life wasn't... Peace is not, folks, peace is not this idea that there's no problems. We think, if I can just get to retirement, then I'll be at peace. If I can just get over this cancer, then I'll be at peace. If I could just be 6 foot tall, well, I guess I'll never have peace. Right? If you know, these people that are on my back, now, is it wrong to pray? Well, you know, I don't need to be praying that I'm 6 foot tall. But we think about provision. We think this is what we want. But see, God's provision looks different for you and different for other people in different seasons of life. The Bible talks about laugh with those that are laughing, weep with those that are weeping. So that means even when you're weeping, you're still supposed to be laughing with those that are laughing. That does not mean that you are an actor. It means you are active in life. And so here is, and we've talked about this before, and you see in David's life, he has people that are with him, and he's responsible for them, and it's like, oh, how can I even do this? I can't even get my own life straight, etc., etc. And I'm here to tell you that you're hearing God's voice when you hear Him say, you keep thinking of me, you keep ministering for me in the midst of your problems, and I will be your provision. And when you step up to that, it doesn't mean that your other stuff goes away. It means that you're going to find a new way to live. And so here he is on the run, having to find a new way to live. Here he is, and he says, he leadeth me beside the still waters, right? He makes me to lie down in the green pastures, which means that he is pondering the fact that there's a provision. The first thing he says is, the Lord is my ra'ah. The Lord is my shepherd, right? And we think of that, and we're too proud to really even think, well, you know, I'm being guided by God. Or we say that, and the newspaper's going to, you know, call us. But that's the way our life is supposed to be. We're supposed to be guided by God. And we say, I want guidance, but He has it all sitting there and we don't follow it. We want to find the green pastures. We want to seek out only still waters instead of thinking, I'm going where God wants me and He will make me to do this. He knows when I need to rest. He knows the type of rest that I need. And He says, the Lord is my shepherd. It's personal. It's intimate. The Lord is the one who shelters me. He provides my needs. I came here to this church 14 years ago. I was not married. I had lived a profligate life. I was, in my former years, a very mean and nasty and selfish and angry person. I had made a lot of money in my life. I lost a lot of money in my life. I don't want to make this about me, but neither does David. You see me or you 17 times, and you see God 12 times. But the focus is on God. He's saying, wow, this is the one who's there. This is the one I should have been following the whole time. This is the one. And I came here, and then, lo and behold, the one person on earth that could put up with me, but watch me change and grow into each other together and grow together and watch God do incredible things is the one that you showered with all these flowers we have sitting here this morning. And some of you have known her for, you know, 20 and 30 years and all of that. But here we see this outpouring, and we think, it made me think of the provision that God has given me with my wife. And I've got to tell you, I've used to pray, you know, in my, because I thought I was Christian anyway, but I sure wasn't acting like it. I would pray, I pray I get surrounded by beautiful women. It really was. I prayed it, I promise you. And now it became true. Because you see my mother's, or my wife's mother, and she's going to be 86, and she is, you would not know, beautiful, which gives me such great hope. And you see, you know, the children that I've adopted and the grandchildren that have been born since we've been married and all that, and they're so beautiful. We were seeing a couple of them yesterday, and God had this provision where it's just incredible. And I thought about it, and here I am surrounded by women of all ages, and they're so beautiful, and they love me. See, God transforms even your selfish desires to be selfless and godly desires. And you get what you want. And when you think, I just want God to leave me alone, that's what you'll get in the end. But no one else will be. Bon Scott was wrong. My friends are not going to be there too on the highway to hell. I'll be there alone in a black box with my thoughts and Jesus in front of me. That's what hell is. So when you get into that hell and you're backslidden or you don't know God and you're listening to this and you are in that box, waiting for your fix, waiting for some measure of hope. Turn it over to Him. It's not going to get absolutely better in every single way right at the moment. It might. It can. He does. But it's more that you take me at my deepest moments and you love me anyway. I am beginning to live the redeemed life. This is what David is saying. I am living a redeemed life. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm not going to lack. If I keep thinking about it in my terms like I used to, I'll lack. I ain't got enough money. I ain't got no place to live. I ain't got friends. I ain't got this. I ruined my marriage. I ruined this. You can talk all you want, JD, about how things are great for you, but they're not so great for me. And I'm not talking about, well, if you just do it like me, then God will give you a beautiful wife with a bunch of flowers too. I'm not saying that either. Don't let people sell you a false dream. That's just the American dream. David is writing this when he's being chased to death by his own son. Can you think of something worse than that? No. But he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Imagine yourself as a sheep there, and you're like, I have all these things that I want to do. I have all these things that I want to see. I have all these things that I want to be. But I know God is greater than that in the first place, and He is my source. He is my significance. He is my satisfaction. He is my safety. If I start there, I can't help but think of the goodness of God, even in the midst of the trials of life. If you don't get this message into your heart, if it doesn't preach into your own soul, if you don't preach it to yourself, if you can't just come off and start telling people about this, you need to know God better. You've got to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Right? You think, I don't have enough money to pay the electric bill. The Lord is my shepherd. You may lack electricity, but you have eternal life. And, we're going to continue on. Otherwise, we won't get finished. But you know what? This message doesn't finish. It says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Keep listening, would you please? He's my shepherd. You lack nothing eternal. He provides your needs. In the ultimate sense, He is what you need. All you need. But you won't lack in this life either. Even if it seems like you do. Look at the next phrase. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Let me go back. You know what happens when we think we lack? We get selfish. We start hoarding things. We get insecure. We think, uh-oh, I've got to get mine before someone else gets mine because I won't have enough. Because we limit God. Is anybody listening? Can anybody say, the Lord is my shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. You see, people are prone to overindulge and they become desperate when they think something is scarce. Food, money, attention, approval, recognition. They fight for things that they think they won't get otherwise. There's a story of a missionary trip where we went over to a country and the children were not getting any sleep and they were desperately hungry. So bad that their stomachs were distended. You've seen that? Where it looks like they're fat and they're not. They're just absolutely starving. And so you give them bread and they hungrily eat it up and they're excited and they're thankful, but they still don't sleep. They don't seem to sleep. And then God puts it on someone's heart to come up with an idea. And they take a piece of bread and tape it to the children's hands. And they sleep like babies. Why? Because their next thing in front of them has been taken care of. Right? And we ask God for that. We say, Lord, if I can just see that little rain cloud, I know it's going to rain. If I can just see something, if I can just have this, and sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not. And you see that in this passage. Don't think that this passage is just some kind of, if you do live right, then He'll always do this. You'll always have this abundance and all that. That's not the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is Christ with a cross. You're going to need to change. You're going to need to follow Him. You will have to sacrifice. But it's worth it. Here He is saying, it's worth it no matter if someone's coming to get my life. Because He's the one that is my shepherd. There is no lack. There is no scarcity. There's sufficiency. There's no reason to compromise or complain. Psalm 34:10 says, "The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." Psalm 84:11 says, "The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly." But He changes what you think those good things are and when you need them. Thank God He doesn't answer all my prayers. Thank God He didn't answer my prayer in, "I want all these beautiful women around me in the way that I wanted them." And now He has transformed that so I can see the beauty of people and I don't have to be all creeper about it. Right? I can love you and think you're wonderful. And there isn't that nagging thing in my soul that says, must have or you lack. Right? How can we learn to be satisfied, at peace, and patient, it's to see the Lord as the shepherd. You have to meditate on Him. This is what the sheep is doing. He sits down, and he's on the run. He's like, "I see you, Lord. I see you, Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I do not lack." You know, after the shears are coming after him, right? I'm getting the wool pulled off of me, and yet I don't lack. It's hard, isn't it? That's faith. It says, "He leads, makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Lush pastures. The waters of rest," this means. Rest is the key to being restored. He gives you rest. It's intentional. He causes you to stop and sit in His presence. And you think, well, how does He do that? Does He just hit me over the head with a hammer? Sometimes He has to do that. But He gives you the opportunity to do that. It's called where you're at right now. Church, Sunday morning, with other believers, we rest in God. We rejoice in Him. Yes, He stirs us up and shows us our sin, but He shows us the Savior. He convicts us, but He comforts us. He exhorts us, but He encourages us. He gives us these imperatives. Faith, you must do this! But not before they're grounded in grace. Because I've done this, you can do this. The Christian life, folks, is not boring. If you're fighting your sin, it's not boring. See, He makes me lie down in green pastures. And we think, oh, boring. I'm just going to sit there and think about God. Hey, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Okay. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. What other songs do I know? Okay. Right? This is a man who's excited. And God makes him lie down. And He leads him by the waters of rest. Rest before activity rather than the reverse. People who work so hard to try to make it easy, and they go on vacation, or they do this, or they do that, and they've got the order wrong. You start the week with your rest, then you're ready for the week. Can you hear me? Your shepherd can create security and serenity for you. That's the point he's making. Absalom's chasing me, but God is like a bubble around me. All around me is wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to be lawsuits, and I might lose my job, and I don't know about my marriage right now, or I don't have anybody right now, or I don't have enough money right now, or no one respects me right now, I don't have any friends right now, I can barely think and see, and I'm in so much pain physically or mentally or whatever it may be, and yet God can create that security and serenity for you. He can make rivers of living water where there is no water. Remember what He did with Moses? And the rock, right, and the water came out. Remember what we talked about earlier today with John chapter 4 and these rivers of living water. This water where you never thirst. He can bring it because He's the one that creates them. Has anybody ever had that happen that's here right now? If you're listening online, can you know that? That you have been in a situation which is absolute chaos, and yet in the midst of that, there's like He's like an oasis. My shepherd finds the oasis where no oasis is, because He creates that. That's His provision for you. That's what you trust. That's what you know. Do you know God like that? Look at verse 3. Are you with me? He restores my soul. You're continually assaulted from without by the world, and from within by your own sinful natures. But He builds you back up as you look to Him. He's your source. He guides you in the path of righteousness. That's more than morality. He's leading you the way you need to go. The right way. Look what it says. He does this for His name's sake. And we see all this wonderful stuff. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Ah. He leads me beside the still waters. Yes. He restores my soul, right? He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Even though I'm... Because, you know, when you got born, guess what you started doing? You started dying, right? But sometimes it's right on you, right? Maybe He was hiding in a cave. I don't know the situation at the time. But He's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't fear evil, right? There's the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's evil all around. We look at this world and we think, man, this is nothing but stress. And you hear people say, you think, you know what? I do got to get off Facebook. I got to stop watching the news. I got to do this. I got to get myself up in the hills. Me, my guns, my groceries, and my gang, and we'll hide up in the hills till Jesus comes back. And that won't work. Because here's the thing, you can't run away from you. You can hide out all you want to. Sometimes you feel like it's death. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For You are with me. So, I'm going to invent something now, just off the top of my head. So there's this guy named Snake Man. And Snake Man can handle any snakes. Snakes can't bite him. Snakes don't do anything. Snakes are afraid of him. And if he's holding on to you, then if a snake bites you, the snake dies, not you. Okay, we understand that? Snake Man. I just invented it. Alright? So now, you're walking through the python pit, right? And you're thinking, all these snakes are coming after me. You got brown snakes, this snake, coral snakes, is it redhead, copperhead, I don't know. They all stink and they're all coming after you. And they're all bigger than you. A snake bigger than you. But you're with Snake Man. Right? Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. That's kind of weird, comparing God to the snake man. But He did so in Numbers anyway, right? Remember, put Him on the pole? Anyway, anybody know their Bible? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because You are with me. You can make that anything you want. You can come up with a better example, I'm sure. I have cancer. I face foreclosure. I've been given 2 weeks to live. My children are not well. My marriage is strained. I don't know where my loved ones are. Someone is angry at me and will not forgive me. I don't have enough money. I feel like nobody loves me. I've really messed it up this time. But if He's with you, He's greater than all of those things combined times a million. And so I don't fear the evil. Perfect love drives out fear, and He has love for you. Fear comes from coming up in the driveway, and He can drive it out. He's still guiding you, but He's guarding you. It's not just provision. Now you start to see protection. He's showing this great provision. He can make provision where there isn't a way. How many people have had that happen in their life? You know you have. Somebody say an amen so people on here can hear it. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't get my wife a birthday present. And yet look at all this. She says I am the present, so, you know, I'll put that on tape or whatever. Well, that's the thing. But I know how it is. We get to that point where, but that's not happening to me. I'm happy for you, but what about me? Again, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And here He is, though, now, from provision to protection. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Even when you walk in the deep desert of darkness, and death is the most fearful darkness of all, is it not? He guides your path. It may be that sin brought you there. It may not be that sin brought you there. Sometimes it's just the right path for you. Sometimes you have to go through the pain to get someone else to know how to focus on God even through that. Do you understand that? Sometimes it's, I'm going to glorify God even in this pain. This psalm is not about I don't have any pain. The reward for faithfulness is and trust is not no pain. Sometimes you have faithfulness and you have trust and you get pain anyway so that you show that I worship God no matter what anyway. That shows the value of God. Even above myself, that's called making your body a living sacrifice. That's called renewing your mind. You see, you are either going to start following what you think or it's going to change what you think. Here's what I mean. You're thinking one thing and your body's doing another. I want to worship God, but I keep doing this. Eventually, your thinking is going to influence your body or your body's going to influence your thinking because they're going to match up at some point. They're going to match up at some point. That's why he says, give your body a living sacrifice. And it means all the time. It means it's going to stink because you ain't going to like it because now you've got to give up stuff you didn't want to give up because you're used to doing it because that's how you cope. But you've got to learn with me and change your mind. Not just what you think, but how you think. And realize that He's working something in you and that you can give Him glory despite the pain, despite the problem, despite the troubles. That really gives God glory because that's what the other wife doesn't have. That's what all the people don't have. Because if you had money, then you think you have peace. They say, why do I need Jesus? I've got money. Why do I need Jesus? I've got a hottie. Why do I need Jesus? I've got the good job. Why do I need Jesus? People like you need that crutch. People like you need this. But when you are living high on Jesus despite the pain, then when they inevitably run into pain, who are they going to look for? The one who knows the shepherd. Because when you have money, when you have looks, when you have fame, when you have the job, when you have the title, when you have charisma, when you have all this, why are you looking for Jesus? Those things are guiding you. That's what you're chasing after. But when you ain't got nothing, right? See, then when you have the shepherd, you can have everything or have nothing. I can win it all or lose it all, but Jesus is my all in all. I know the source. My source ain't money. On money. My source ain't my health. On my health. I'm not saying you don't try to have money. I'm not saying you don't try to have health. I'm saying if the Lord allowed those things to take it away or I was stupid enough to lose it again, I ain't got nothing now anyway. But you know, if I lost this or I lost that, I'm not going to fear that. You're with me. I'm telling you. You think, I've got it all figured out. I'm retired now. I've got this pension now. I've got this money now. I've got this now. I've got that now. I've got my health. Everything's good. We're doing tight and everything like that. God can take those things away. And for your sake and for the sake of glorifying Christ, I hope He does. And there went everybody out the door. I will fear no evil. You're with me. That's enough. We say it all the time. But when you show that you are following the shepherd when he's bringing you to the valley of shadow of death, you're showing that he is enough. And that's what preaches to people. Your life is preaching something, I guarantee you. But is it preaching Christ? When you feel weak, you say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Right? When you feel marginalized and insecure and insignificant, you say, He is my sufficiency. He is my significance. He is my satisfaction. You don't plan for bad times. You don't put them on your agenda. But sometimes the shepherd brings you there. And it is the right path. He leads you to the battle to show you His victory. The shepherd's going to keep you safe. Again, I have something money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal, death can't stop, the devil can't touch. Amen. David knew war. And we're all in a spiritual war. Do you understand that? And we think it's this, you know, I'm praying this stronghold and I'm doing this, that, and the other thing. You got the war going on inside of you, brother. That's what I'm talking about. You got to expect some degree of success. But your path may not lead you where you think, but it's still part of His plan. Notice He says, He does not say, I will suffer no evil. He says, I will fear no evil. What removes the fear? When the thing goes away? No. It's the awareness that the Lord is with you. Remember our snake man, right? The rod and staff implied guidance, control, defense. The rod is for defense from threats without to guard us. The staff is for defense for threats within to guide and control us from destroying ourselves. Oh, Lord, protect me from me. You're not comforted just because God is with you, just that, but for you. This I know, God is for me. What about those sheep that are not going through the valley? They're going to die there. Even then, they're more than conquerors. Jesus' sheep don't have to fear death. You see, we think, I'm getting sheared. All that I need, I can't sell my wool because someone's taking it from me. I am vulnerable, now I'm even more vulnerable. I was little, now I'm even littler. Now I don't have anything to warm me, to comfort me, or anything like that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Look at verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God is guiding you. God is guarding you. He's got provision. He's got protection. And He's got power. He gifts you. Sometimes you find your food where your enemies are. You know, when it says He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies, before my enemies. So here's a shepherd. You're a sheep again. All right? And what the shepherd would do is there's wolves all around. There's things that mess. Sheep can die so many ways. They get infected and all this kind of stuff. So what the shepherds would do when there was trouble is they'd come up on a hillside and they would cut away a rock, you know, like a table. They would get rid of all the burrs and all the stuff and all the wolves, and it'd be high up. The wolves weren't going to get there immediately. You could see them coming, and he would prepare that, and they would call that a table. Right? So here's all the enemies all around, but He leads me to a high place. Right? And He clears the ground, and I'm safe there. Anointing my head with oil. Oil is a mark of the a symbol of the Holy Spirit. He anoints my head with fresh oil. You know what I need? When the trouble's closing in all around me, I need the touch of the Lord. I need a scripture to come to my mind. I need someone to make a call. I need to have the gumption so I can make a call. I need someone to give me a bunch of flowers here, or my wife. You know, I need things, and He gives them to you. He anoints your head with oil. He gives you the power, the filling of the Holy Spirit. And the only reason you get that is when you say, He is my shepherd. If you're saying, I don't know about this, I can't, you're not going to be filled with the Spirit. When you're saying, He's the one that's anointing my head, even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And I'm not just talking about this in the overall sense. I've got to deal with this sickness or the disease overall. Overall, yes, but in that moment as well. It's both. Living this life with Him as your shepherd. People say it, they believe it, and they mean it, and they're going to heaven, but they're not living it in the day by day. Because some news can happen, and it sets you off. Now you're on the wrong track. Or in the moment, and you think, I'm going to respond with this. I'm going to respond with that. Here I am again, walking through this pit of snakes or whatever. One snake, they're all coming after me. I'm not going to let that stop me. If one snake comes after me, so what? Remember, when it bites me, it dies anyway. Again, I know you can come up with a better example. But the Lord is your shepherd, right? There was a man, and he had a son. And he was walking up a hill with his son. And his son was holding on to his hand. And he began to get sweaty and nervous. The little boy. And his father's hand got sweaty too. And the hand slipped and he fell down the hill and hurt himself. And it was sad. Well, here comes the next time. The boy is coming up the hill with his dad, but this time the dad's holding on to his hand, his wrists. And so the kid's wrist, you know, he sees all the stuff around. This is a high mountain. I see a dog over there. I don't know. This, that, and the other thing. And he starts to slip, but the man has the grip. All he's got to do is lift him up in the air and hold him. Right? This is something R.C. Sproul said. We are secure, not because we hold tightly to Jesus, but because He holds tightly to us. Think about that. The Lord is my shepherd. See, we put God as the caboose instead of the engine. It isn't Jesus take the wheel. It's Jesus. It's your car. It's your will. You are the car. I'm in the trunk. Tell me to shut up. I'm going to put Jesus first. Don't ever do that. Put Him in the center. Then the gravity pull is towards Him. Then you can see what's going His way and not. God's involved with you. God's interested in you. God's invested in you. God's invincible for you. Because my cup overflows. Wow. You don't lack. You have an abundance. I could go off and say, well, in America we have... I'm not talking about money. When you're surrounded, the Lord is my shepherd. When you're dry, the Lord is my shepherd. When you have a need, the Lord is my shepherd. You look to your shepherd in faith. And when He has you down there and it feels like nothing's going to help, I mean, you know, if you were on a deserted island, okay? You're the only one there. Anybody hearing me? You got to be practical. You're on a deserted island. What's the one book you would want? Shh, don't say it. Because you want to say the Bible, right? You know what the book you need is? How to Build Ships. You should have the word hidden in your heart anyway. See, sometimes we get so spiritual, we get sanctimonious, we get superstitious and all that. So it's not just we just sit there and go, oh, the Lord is my shepherd, when they're taking your house. You know, fight. You know what I'm saying? The Lord is my shepherd, and they're starting to mess with my wife. No, this little man's going to do the best he can. You're going to have a fight on your hands. Right? The Lord is my shepherd. You know, go to work. I will not lack, so I'm not going to work. Woo-hoo! Like the hip shake thing? Yeah. But that's it. No, it is practical. He leads me beside the still waters, but that means you're walking towards Him, baby. You matter to God. Do you understand that? I'm not talking generically. I'm saying if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. If you don't, this ain't you. Is he your shepherd? Say, well, yeah, it is. You know, I go to church. I've said a prayer. Do you live like it? When the chips are down, you think, yeah, all is lost. You lose something and you're absolutely in despair. You're not coming to church. You don't want to talk to anybody. You got to grow out of that. I mean, if you got a chemical thing and all that, hey, I understand. I don't understand. I hope you find God more and you find the right things you need and all that. But He has provision. He uses means. Sometimes that provision is someone says, I love you, brother. Sometimes that provision is, brother, you ought not to do this way. Sometimes that provision is, hey, baby, happy birthday. Sometimes that provision is, JD, if you don't do the dishes, I'm never going to cook again. Thank you, Lord, it's never been that. Yeah. It's the lie of the devil to make you feel as if you don't matter to God. That somehow He cares less for you than He should, or less than He does for someone else. We see someone else being blessed, and we think, they're the ones that are in the... Now, watch this now. Come on. I do want us to be spiritual. We see someone else that's beside the still waters. We see someone else in the green pastures. You know, the grass is greener on the other side. We see someone else and their soul seems to be restored. Maybe their soul's getting eaten up. You don't even know it. You can look good on the outside and be terrible on the inside. You look terrible on the inside, be really good. It's well with my soul. But He can do this in a way for you that's right for you. Don't look at what everybody else has got and want it. I mean, you can use people as an example and, you know, follow them. But I want the presence of God more than anything. That's what I want. I don't care if I'm in Citrus County. I don't care if I'm in the Citrus County Detention Facility. I don't care where I'm at. I don't care what I'm doing. All these things are just parts of life. Jesus is life. See, then, when you get those people that just ain't right, that are messing with you on purpose, right? Absalom was chasing his father. He says, He restores my soul. I mean, I can't think of anything worse. I can't think of anything worse. But when you see that kind of power flowing through your life, it will witness to other people, and your words, you'll be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Not, I'm not paying attention to anything. He says, I'm walking through the valley of shadow of death. This isn't ignoring reality. This is saying, I have something greater than just reality. My reality is God. Does anybody track with that? I'm just about done. My cup overflows. It's easy to say that when you've shown such great love for me and my wife this morning. Easy to say that when the church is full. Easier to say that, you know, when my grandchildren are around me and adoring me and we love each other and we reminisce and all that. Easy to say that when, you know, your relationships are good and the money's good or whatever else it may be. Your health is good. But really now, it's never all good, is it? But still my cup overflows. And he says, surely. Here he is at the end. He's gone from the green pastures. He's gone from the still waters. He's gone through the valley of the shadow of death. There's enemies all around, but there's a table there. And he's thinking, surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. Look at my shepherd. Look how incredible he is. He created the universe. He sustains the universe. He redeems the universe. He's restoring my soul. He has redeemed my life. I'm living this life. And even though I go through all kinds of trouble, I've got him. And so I know goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life, and they're going to catch up, and I'm going to let them. And then it's all predicated. You bracket it. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever, forever. Someone say forever. This isn't some formula for success. This isn't some pattern of privilege to get you to go by all these things and then good things are going to happen. Or the promise if you live right, then the right things are always going to happen. Or things are going wrong because you're doing something wrong. You don't look at people's pain like the world would. And let me say this about the sovereignty of God. It is not que sera, sera. What will be, will be. You turn over the stones. You go after those dreams legitimately. You do things the right way. You got the intelligence to be a doctor, you go be a doctor. You've messed up life. You've done this, you've done that. Just remember, the right time to do the right thing is right now. No matter what your situation is, still waters, valley of the shadow of death. The point that he's making is, I'm pondering the shepherd. So you ponder him when it's good. You ponder him when it's not so good. You ponder him. You meditate upon him. You could get this in your heart. I wish and hope and pray that you can say it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me before my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And you can hear the sheep get robust. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the best place to be. And we're practicing that now. And spiritually speaking, we're there already at His right hand next to the Lord Jesus Christ, the good and great shepherd of His sheep. If you will hear His voice today, do not harden your heart. Come to the one who has the still waters and the flowing rivers of water. Yahweh Rapha, our shepherd. Heavenly Father, this week, when things are going well, help us to see you as our shepherd. This week, when things are not going so well, for us or for someone else, help us to see you as our shepherd. And to help others remind him that he is their shepherd, unless they do not know him, Lord. You had said there are other sheep. I ask you to bring them in and then take us home. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.